In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. If the woman had 9 girls and the 10th child was a son, that would be the one who opened the womb. Okay? And in the Old English, it's matrix. For you people that know science, it's cervix. But the one who opened the womb, all right, is called holy to the Lord. That means the family offers this child. In the case of Ayman Boutros, who's never here, Jaden would be the one that he would offer to the Lord. He could keep the other 4. But Jaden is the one he would offer the floor because that's the one who opened the matrix. I opened the matrix of my mother. All right? So, it was in addition to this that a sacrifice was to be offered, a sin offering. Behold, I was conceived in iniquities, and in sins did my mother bear me. Have you heard that? I hope you hear it every day a few times. Psalm 50. Behold, I was conceived in iniquities, and in sins did my mother bear me. Behold, thou hast loved truth, the hidden and secret they of thy wisdom hast thou made manifest unto me. The Lord was not made with seed. He was not made with seed. There was no conjoining between man and woman. He did not have to do this. According to the law of Moses and Leviticus, he didn't have to do it. It was just a woman who had received the seed of a man, produced a male child, then she would go in and she would offer, if she had money, she would offer a firstling, which is a lamb 1 year of age. But if you were poor, you would offer 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. And that would be the sin offering. So you know that then Joseph and Mary were poor because according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Okay, and then it starts to talk about Simeon. And if you heard the cynics are, you know, Simeon was not a priest. Simeon was a scribe. Simeon was a scribe. And he, according to an expansion on the story that you heard the cynics are, every day that he came across this word that a virgin was going to conceive and bear a child, he wrote young woman. And when he returned to his work the next day and reviewed it, it had been changed to virgin. And he was puzzled by this. He changed it back. This happened 3 times, and the angel appeared to him and said to him, Simeon, you will not see death before you have seen the Lord's Christ. You will not see death until you have seen the Lord's Christ. So he was waiting, and he was, what was he waiting for? The consolation of Israel. And it was revealed that the Holy Spirit would be the guiding impetus to bring him in to the meeting. So when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took up his arms and blessed God. And this is the key. Remember I told you to pay attention to the psalm? What does the psalm have to say? Offer to God the sacrifice of praise. Offer to God the sacrifice of praise. What are you here to do today? You are to praise God. This is what you are to do. And what will you behold? You will behold not just the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world, but you will hold him in yourself as a vessel. As a vessel. You will take into yourself the holy body and the precious blood of Jesus Christ into yourself. Simeon could only hold the Lord, but he recognized him. Simeon was a man who was 300 years old at the time of the incarnation of the child when the parents brought in the child Jesus to the temple. his eyesight was dimmed, but when he saw the baby, imagine you see a baby. Do you know how wonderful it is to cradle a baby in your own hands? When my daughter was born, I had my chest bare, and my arms are bare, and my daughter is bare, and I'm holding her like this. If I think about it, I'll start to cry. It's the most magnificent thing in the whole world. You think about, as human beings, that we have contributed just one little cell, and it is combined with another little cell, and now you have this. You have this child. That's unbelievable. Now imagine the Word of God is there. You've been waiting for years and years and years with so many prayers. Waiting. And now Simeon can hold this baby. Was Jesus uncovered? You bet he was. He was going to have a bris. He was going to have a circumcision. And he held him. He held the naked Lord, the creator of the universe, the living Word of God. He held him. And what did he say? What did he say? My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, not just the Jews, but for everyone. Now, how could he know that? He was just a Hebrew trained in the Hebrew theology. How did he know that Jesus was going to go to everyone? How did he know he was going to be not, as the Lord said earlier in the Old Testament, you will be my people and I will be your God. How do you know that this was not going to be some exclusive relationship? It's not. Remember what it says when you pray your first, the gospel of the first hour? Who gets to become a son of God? Even to those who believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. You to believe on his name. Well, what then is the response if you believe? If there is anybody in this church that believes, if there is anyone in this church that believes, you must raise your whole soul in the expectation of the embrace that Simon gave to Jesus himself. Jesus was too young to reciprocate. Although there is something, I heard this a long time ago and I've shared it with you. You probably have forgotten it. The first handshake is the best handshake of all. Do you know what that means? It means when you put out your index finger and the baby wraps his hand around that finger. That's the handshake. It's the best handshake you will ever receive. It's amazing. That little tiny hand making a type of contact that is immeasurable in its potency. The way that it makes you feel. It means, yes, you have this explicit trust. You don't know if in the next minute you're going to be passed off to a cannibal and become stew. You're a baby. But this trust this baby has, this is how the Lord wants us to approach him, with the same kind of trust. That you know, I was yelling, as I usually do last week, about something, and I made a statement, and I really want to impress this upon everyone. If we do our best, it's not good enough. If we give to the Lord every single thing that we can possibly give, even our own blood, it's not good enough. But the Lord accepts it in the same way, and you ladies remember this, Remember when you got a little tiny card and you could hardly figure out what it said? But it was, "I love you, Mommy." It was written by your child. This crummy looking thing that is just ugly, except in its intent. And its intent is perfect. Its intent is courageous. Because you don't know when you say "I love you" to somebody if it's going to be returned. As Seinfeld said one time, you know, "That's a big matzo ball hanging out there." I do this just for those two, maybe a couple of you. Yeah. But it's true. We now in this condition, this very weakened condition, we know things that as we age, we forget. When we're babies, we know things. We know things that are so much more magnificent than the things that we claim we know now. If we can do anything, it is to return to that. That's why the Lord said to the disciples, "Suffer the little children to come unto me," because such, meaning the little children, are those who populate the kingdom of heaven. That not meaning they don't know anything. No, it means that the tenderness and the way in which they are bold. I remember one time being with Baba Shenouda in Egypt, and this little girl just in the middle of everything, where there was a lot of decorum and there were important people there, and I think even at this time somebody from the government was there, and this little girl, a toddler, came up and just came right up to the Pope. And he just looked down at her and had this big smile on his face and offered her the cross, and she kissed it, and then she went back. That kind of boldness, who would do that? You know, if I ask you guys a question right now, raise your hand if you are blank, 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 right? Nobody's going to want to raise their hand. Nobody's going to want to answer a question. "Oh, I'm afraid. I'm scared to death. I will be seen to be the fool. I will be seen as uneducated. I'll be seen as being wanting, not having what I should have by this time in my life. So I'm going to be silent." In school, sometimes kids do this. They know the answer and they won't answer. But it's fear. Okay. So here's the continuation of Simeon. And by the way, he's called Simon sometimes, and sometimes he's called Simeon. "Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." The glory of the people Israel, because it was the fulfillment of all of the promises. You know, there was no purification that was necessary. Women complain a lot of times, "Why is it that when I am maybe having postpartum blues?" This is a thing. I don't know if that's the term they use now, but in my day, after a woman would give birth and she would feel depressed. A lot of times that happened because when a woman is pregnant and her belly is really big, everybody's cooing over her. Everybody's paying attention to her. Everybody's, you know, offering their best wishes. Everybody's giving presents. And then the baby comes and all of a sudden the woman is over to the side and everybody's doing the same thing to the baby and the woman is just over there. And so it could be that. It could be some hormonal change. It could be anything. But the psychology is so fragile in that case, right? The women complain. Well, I've been the recipient of many complaints, issues like this. But St. Mary, in Leviticus, it says that the woman will be apart for 7 days and then 33. And if she gives birth to a female, she will be apart for 7 days. I think what they're trying to say is that in case there might be some hemorrhaging or there might be something else that is a consequence of the afterbirth or whatever, that it's going to take 7 days to heal before she can go into regular company. But then she will be unclean for 33 days for a male and 66 for a female. So this is in Leviticus. And I say to the woman, I say, look, St. Mary didn't need to do any of this. Why did she do it? Why did she do it? I said, have you heard of humility? Have you heard of this word, humility? How would you express it in yourself? This is a time, you know, I was over taking confession at somebody's house and they showed me a picture of a priest. It was hanging on the wall, and actually I made mention of this. I said, who is this? And the people had actually forgotten who he was. But he was a young priest who in the Sinai was killed by Muslims. He was shot to death, 7 times apparently. And there's a book about it and one thing or another. When you have something momentous in your life, God is giving you a chance to do something really glorious and magnificent. Nobody cares whether or not the corners of your house have dust in them. But when you're told to do something that is very difficult and you do it with grace, then God has deep pleasure in you. Deep pleasure. And so the man who was being shot to death, first he was shot in his leg while he was seated in the car. He tries to get out of his car. He's shot in the other leg. And then he's asked and threatened, you know, deny your religion and we will let you live. And apparently, according to the text, there was an onlooker. He said he looked up and either he said, you know, El Adra or something of that nature, St. Mary, and denied, and they put 4 more bullets in him, something like that. That's the story that I heard. Well, you have a chance. Now, there are plenty of people that wanted to be martyrs. Origen, one of the famous expositors of the Bible. Origen. He wanted to be a martyr. He was denied by the Lord. But why did he want? Why does anybody want to be a witness in that way? Many of the women that I confronted with these facts, even after they were told these things, you have this opportunity to be obedient, to be humble, even if you don't think it's right. Because after all, you're a woman of the 21st century. Why would you do something that's so archaic? You're much more advanced. You're much better educated. Oh, you're great. But what do? Every one of them, almost to a person, at the end, I still don't know. In other words, no explanation will ever be sufficient. But here you have the example of God's mother. If there was ever a woman who did not need to embellish her status by doing anything, it's God's mother, the one he chose. Well, anyway, after the Lord has been received by Simeon, you know, the prophecy came to him, because when you can see, clarity is the most important thing in the world. When you can see into the heart of somebody and tell what they are going to do, as the Lord said at the Last Supper to Judas, go and do what you are going to do, go do it. When you can see with this kind of clarity, Simeon said, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many Israel and for a sign that will be spoken against. What was a sign? A sign was the cross. The sign was before that even, his virgin birth. Everything that Jesus did was a sign that was spoken against. He wasn't really of the same flesh as we. All of these things that he did that were miraculous, these were from his Father and not from him. He was merely the conduit, the one through whom grace and power flowed. No. And he said to the Holy Virgin, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. The pain that she did not receive at childbirth, she received at the birth of the Savior of the world on the cross and his passion. A new birth. On the eighth day. The eighth day is the Sunday of resurrection. That's called the eighth day in the church. Now, there's another woman, because God does not leave these things to be done by men alone. But there was a woman, a prophetess named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. And she was very old, and she'd been in the temple 84 years. 84. Now, you women know this. You cannot go into the temple and stay in the temple until you are past the time of fertility. Until this time has passed, until there is no longer any flux, and that is finished, then you can go in. So how old was she? We don't know exactly. But 84 years in the temple. 84 years. And what was her response? In that instance, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Israel. See, this is you're coming and you will take something great. Everything that the Lord did vicariously, we participate in. The Lord was born. We are born in baptism. We participate in the death before the resurrection by being immersed three times in the water, which symbolizes the 3 days in the tomb. Or three time periods. It doesn't mean three 24-hour periods. One day could be 1 second, then a 24-hour period, and then the next day another second. So it could be 24 hours and 2 seconds. That constitutes 3 days in the way in which Hebrews count time. The third day, because you can count from Friday to Sunday, right? It's not 3 days. Not that we would count three 24-hour periods. But it means that in the same way that the Lord participated in circumcision, we too are all circumcised. Now, what is circumcision for women? Circumcision for women is the putting off of the things that betray the flesh through the appetitive demands that make a woman earthly instead of spiritual. And the same thing for men as well. But obviously, after the baptism of the Lord, circumcision was only done for health rules or for cleanliness. But it is not a feature anymore of our religion. So in all of these things that Jesus did, we as a people, we who he came for, he allows us to participate in. And so today when we kiss the Bishara that is draped in a lefafa, like the swaddling clothes for the little baby Jesus, we kiss him. Could you imagine kissing Jesus? Could you imagine kissing Jesus as the little baby? The pure, perfect little baby, seeing his face, looking at his little mouth. I tell you this, I resented the fact when my daughter's teeth started to come in, because she was growing. And I wanted her to stay little. It's like that clothing manufacturer, Oshkosh. Don't you wish that your kid would stay small enough to wear these clothes out? That's something of the meaning of it. Oshkosh, my gosh. I remember all those clothes, those little tiny cute clothes. And just, she grew and she kept on growing and she kept on growing. And she's a woman and she's a mother, and my goodness. But when she was that little baby, When Negua was, we had a two-bedroom apartment. When Negua was upstairs, and it was hard for her to come down the stairs because she'd had an episiotomy, I would cook for Negua at the stove. In my left hand, my daughter's head was in my hand, and her body was along my forearm. And I would hold her to the side like this while I cooked to keep her as far away from the stove as possible, but I never took my eyes off of my daughter. And I imagine what it was like for Anna and for Simeon to look at the baby who is also the creator of all existence. We have a glorious God. He's wonderful and kind and generous and so sensitive to our humanity. So when you go to receive communion today, you think about embracing him. You think about bringing him into your bosom and holding him tight. Because whether male or female, that's what we do. When we're hugging somebody that we love, we don't want to let them go. We never want to let them go. They, when they're older, they push away. But we don't want to. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.